Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive's hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash your kingdom's power. Reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope of honor. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. Build your kingdom here. Check the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Oh, boy. Couple of weird things there. Katie told me that there was a certain way you're supposed to clap, that I was supposed to watch her, and then I was supposed to tell Richard to watch me. Richard watching me how to clap. That is about the weirdest thing that I've ever said before in my life. It's a weird time of year for me. I'm a Redskins fan, which means Super Bowl Sunday means absolutely nothing to me. Hasn't meant anything to me for a very long time. I think the last time the Redskins were in the Super Bowl, I'm not sure they had face masks back then. But anyway, it's a fun time of year. I didn't see my shadow, which means this is the last Sunday for our 2020 vision, our looking forward, what God is going to do, what we think God is going to do, what we're looking forward, what we've been praying for God to do in the year and years ahead. We've been looking at our vision statement. We've been taking this mission vision statement apart, kind of looking at the pieces, putting it back together, and wondering what God is going to do with our church. And of course, the implication is that there's going to be changes. And we don't do well with change. For a church that was born amid a restoration, revival movement back in the 1800s. Change is nuts. You know, there's an old saying, how many Church of Christ members does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is 100. Not to change the bulb, but to explain all the reasons why we shouldn't change it, and why, if that bulb was good enough for Paul, why it should be good enough for the rest of us. After all, that was the one true light bulb to begin with. We don't like change, and we should repent, right? James 4, verse 9, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Every lesson that we hear, every sermon that's preached, every class that we attend, every prayer that we pray, every time we read Scripture, the Holy Spirit is working on our hearts. And if we're not open to being changed, and if a lot of us are changed by God, then shouldn't the church be changed by God as well? Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard challenged the church of his day. He thought a weak, watered-down gospel had produced a weak church, and in turn had produced a weak and joyless Christian. And so he sort of threw down the gauntlet, and he did it with a parable. He imagined a church made up of ducks, a duck church, with a duck preacher who preached duck sermons that were recorded on duct tape, I guess. And so he imagined that one Sunday the ducks waddled to church, and the duck preacher got up and he preached a rip-snorting sermon where he had challenged the church like this. With wings, duck can fly. We can mount up on wings like eagles and soar. We can escape the confinement of pens and of fences. With wings, we can know the euphoria of unfettered freedom. God made ducks to fly. Praise God for His great gifts. And all the ducks were moved, and they cried amen, and they all waddled back home. And I wonder if that's not the church today. We come and we read about being lifted up on wings like eagles. But are we content to just waddle? It's easier to waddle. I mean, it's easier to just be the church we've always been. It's easier to think about flying on wings like eagles. It's easier to, like we're going to do a little bit later, to sing about being lifted up on wings like eagles. But it's easier just to waddle like ducks. But we weren't made to waddle like ducks. We were made to fly on eagles' wings. You know, this one subject Jesus didn't talk about a lot. If you want to be a church builder, Jesus is not the guy to go to, because he doesn't mention church very much. He mentions it twice. He mentions church when talking about what to do when Christians have fights with each other, that you go to your brother, and then if he doesn't listen to you, then you take somebody with you, and then if that doesn't work, finally you should tell it to the church. That's one time he mentions church. The other time he mentions church is when he promises to found it. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, we misread this text because we read it too fast. Listen to this. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You see, we read that, we think what he's saying is this, is that once we're in the church, boy, we're protected from hell. We're protected from Hades. We're protected from death, because Hades won't be able to storm and get to us because we're protected from the church. I mean, we're protected from Hades, right? That's not what he's saying, is it? The gates of hell will not prevail against us. The church is going to storm the gates of Hades. But Hades won't be safe. We're not made to be protected by the church. We're made to be the church that flies and starts taking the victims of death and of Hades and of hell and reclaiming them. The church is made to fly. That's the Christ church. That's the church that was built by Jesus. We were made to trust God to lift us up on eagle's wings. So we're going to fly. What does that mean? What changes might that mean for us? Well, we're going to go back one last time to this mission vision statement that we've had for years and years that's on our website and on our bulletin and painted on the wall back in our family room that we've had, but we just don't think about what it might mean. And we're going to tear it apart one more time. To live as God's family under the cross. And I'm going to take the last four things that we've been talking about, loving, serving, praising, and proclaiming. And I'm going to suggest to you four changes that I think are coming. Now, I could give the disclaimer that Amos gave in his great sermon at Samaria when he stared down the high priest at Samaria. I'm neither the prophet nor the son of a prophet. But these are things I think are going to change, and maybe this year, that have to do with loving, serving, praising, and proclaiming. First, loving. I think we are becoming and have become a church where everyone is received. One of the things that strikes people when they visit Denby for the first time is how different we are. Back in 1960 on Meet the Press, Dr. King said that the most segregated hour in America is the worship hour. And one of the things that people notice when they come to Denby is that we aren't segregated. We are very different. And that's one of our strengths. And we're different in a lot of other ways, too. We are across the board politically. We are Democrats, we are Republicans, we are Libertarian, we are, me, contrarian. That means whatever you are, I disagree with that. Particularly if you argue, if you can explain what you believe on Facebook, I disagree with. Facebook is for pictures of kittens, it's not for political beliefs. If you put memes on Facebook, in fact, some of you I don't follow anymore because Facebook is not for politics. We're different in so many ways. We are blue collar and white collar. We are officers and enlisted. We are, get this, cowboy fans and redskin fans. It doesn't matter because neither one of us are ever going to see the Super Bowl again, so we can get along. We are so different. You know, when I came here, 40 years ago, this May, 40 years ago, when I came here, I had 7 NASA PhDs that I preached to every week. I mean, not a personality among them. The church has really changed over the years in so many ways. We are so different, but we get along because of the cross. We start with that in our mission statement. We are God's family under the cross. And because of that cross, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, so what's the change? I think this change has been going for a while, and I think it's going to reach fruition if it hasn't already reached fruition. And some of you know what I'm saying when I say this, so I'll say it and then I'll explain it. When people come through the door, everybody brings baggage. Everybody that comes just as you are. But no matter who it is that comes through this door, we will receive you. Did you get the subtle hint there? No matter what your baggage is, if you're coming looking for Jesus, we'll walk with you no matter what it is. If that baggage is LGBTQ, we'll walk with you as long as you're looking for Jesus. There was a time when that was not true. That's true now. Because all of us have baggage, right? And if people were gentle enough to receive us when we came just as we are, we're willing. I still preach Romans 1 the same way that I've always preached Romans 1. The difference is I want people that hear it to come to Jesus. And we will walk with people who will walk to Jesus. That's number one. That's loving. Then there is serving. I think we're in the beginning stages of this transition, but this change is just as real. We are a church that's becoming more a church of owners. What do I mean by that? Well, one writer says that churches are made up of three different kinds of people. There are browsers. There are people that come, they really don't want to buy anything. They're not interested in ownership. They're not interested in buying anything. They're just looking around. And that's important. It's important for us to be a church where people are free to browse. Okay. Secondly, there are folks that are customers. Yeah, these are people that they're interested in, they're members, and they're very interested in the church having a lot of programs, having a lot of things, because, frankly, they are interested in being served. These are folks that are very interested in the church having a lot of things for them to be served by. Their customers. The guy that was writing this said that he and 25 other folks planted a church in a different part of the city. A city they lived in, but it was a whole different part of the city that wasn't being served much by churches. And within 9 months, they had gone from the 25 to about 125. That's pretty good growth. But there was only 25 workers still. And there was 100 people that still wanted to be served in every way. They still had 100 customers, right? You know the old 80-20 rule? 80% of the work is done by 20% of the workers. And then there are owners. These are people that you can count on. They're going to be there anytime the doors open. These are going to be the people that are going to be involved in all of your ministries. They're going to want the church to grow, and they're going to be behind it with their work. They're going to be behind it with their money. They're going to be involved. You can count on them to be there when you need them. You can count on them to be there when you start new ministries. You can also count on them to flame out, to burn out, and to drop out eventually, because you're going to wear them out. I think we're making the transition to more owners and less customers. One of the things the elders are talking about is more elders. We need to add more elders. I am a firm believer in the Trinity, but we need more than three elders. I don't believe in the Trinity when it comes to elders. We need way more elders than just three. And so we're beginning the process of adding more to our eldership. Another thing that we're talking about, and then we're in the process of fleshing out the details, is starting what I'm really bad at coming up with these catchy titles, right now we're calling it a leadership team. This is a cross-section of the congregation, cross-section meaning cross-section of ages and of genders and of socioeconomic people that are going to act sort of as they're going to work with the elders. They're going to work as an adjunct group with the elders, to work with the elders when the elders are working on ideas and that sort of thing, to give the elders more input. They're not going to make decisions. That's still going to be on the elders' plate. They're the ones that are going to have to make the decisions. But coming up with ideas, they're going to have these folks working with them. Okay? And this could be a cross-section. See, one of the problems with the elders is not that they're all old, but that's not a problem, because they're all, you know, basically my age. Now, one of the problems is they've been at Denby about as long as I have. So their field of experience is about the same, right? So we need folks that have been different places and had different experiences and that sort of thing. We need men and women, and we need people that are young and folks that have been other places. And so we're going to do that. And then we're going to have ministry teams. You know, I talked last week about, again, and I didn't come up with titles very well. That's one of the things that the group itself is going to do. We talked about the outreach team, a group of 10 to 12 folks that have a heart for evangelism that is going to meet 5 or 6 times a year to come up with 100 dumb ideas of how we can better reach our immediate community. That's going to come up with 10 good ideas. That's going to come up with 4 or 5 ideas that we can actually do that will help us to reach our community for Christ. Moving from, what if we, rather than just having an evangelism or outreach team, we also had worship teams and benevolence teams. education, that everybody in our church was on one of those teams, that not one single person wasn't on one of those teams looking to serve our community and our church. How about a VBS team? Would that be a good idea? That would be a really good idea, wouldn't it? That everybody was an owner, where we had more people on service teams than weren't on service teams. That's the direction that we're moving. And I think that that is, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. I think that's the direction that we're moving. Praising. I think this is the year where women find their voice in our church. We've talked about this before, but this is the year. We sometimes very flippantly, without context, quote 1 Corinthians 14:34, that women should remain silent in our churches. But they're not. And they never have been. Right? Women, just several weeks ago, my wife got up and gave a praise report, prayer report on Braden, how Braden was doing. Right in the middle of church and everything, in front of God. Her voice was heard in church. But if she, after talking about Braden, would have prayed for Braden, you see how silly that is? She can talk about Braden, but if her voice would have prayed for Braden, that somehow... Or we have announcements. Something tells me that some female is going to be talking about VBS quite a lot and encouraging us to get involved in VBS. But if she was happened to quote from Hebrews 5 and verse 12... that some of you by this time should be teachers, but you need to be taught again. If she read from Scripture, somehow that would be wrong. Her voice is heard. It was heard a lot last year. You see the inconsistency in how we apply this, right? Cindy got up and did a sermon-length mission report of her work in Ukraine, and a very well-done one at that. But we're certainly not going to call it a sermon length anything, are we? If she would have shared a prayer from the people in Ukraine, would that have somehow been different? Her voice was heard every week in praise and worship. Our women lead us in praise and worship. Is somehow the fact that they're sitting like this okay? But if they're standing like this, it becomes okay or not okay. Their voice is heard. Oh, and one more thing that's never been brought up by anybody, to my knowledge, for the last 4 or 5 years. Women have been teaching mixed gender classes on Sunday morning in the family room. Okay, here's my point. Regardless of what we do with 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34... women's voices are being heard. Women's voices were heard in Paul's church too. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5, Paul says that women should pray and prophesy with their heads covered. Their voices were heard. He was just concerned about their demeanor when they were heard. We want to get around those things by saying yes, but those things don't have anything to do with authority or spiritual leadership. Yeah, but neither do praying and reading Scripture, and all the other things that we do. Picking up attendance cards. The greatest act of leadership, that besides preaching, of course, the person that runs PowerPoint probably got a greater leadership role than anybody in church. They can take us off in a direction that we don't want to go quicker than anybody if they get ahead of me or behind me. When a young man is baptized at 9, 10, or 11, we want to get him involved in church. We want him passing communion praise. We want him reading Scripture. We want him to have a role. Why? Because we want him to develop his gift. We want him to feel a part of our church. And so we very quickly get him doing something. Why? Because it's spiritual leadership? No. Because it is using his gift and because it involves him in our church. The time has come for us to be just as concerned about his sister and his mother. And I think the time has come for that. Now, we're not in a rush. You don't have to worry that one Sunday without any warning you're going to come in and all of a sudden we're going to be led by Katie and the Pips in worship. There'll be a process. The leaders will meet to make sure they get on the same page. They'll be class-led so that the church is on the same page. And then there'll be a sermon announcing what that page is. You'll be told in advance what that is. I guess all I'm asking you to do is just trust your leaders. The final change that I think we're making is that we're going to make the Great Commission our job one. It's what we talked about last week, that we're going to make taking the gospel to the world and to our Denby community what we're about. We mentioned the new outreach team, and we're taking applications for that. Like I said, we need 10 or 12 people. One of the elders got tackled going out of service last week by somebody that wants to be on that team. We have like three people already that's what they want to do, and we need more. We want to make this personal. We want everyone to feel a burden for taking the gospel to people who don't have it. If we really believe that the lost are lost and the gospel is the only hope, then we need to take that very personally. Invite people to things. We mentioned the Super Bowl party. Great chance. Talk about low risk. Nobody's going to get offended. Just bring someone and introduce them around. The Valentine party that we're going to have later in the month. Invite somebody to come with you. If money is an issue, money is not an issue. If there's going to be a fee, we'll drop it. I'll pay it. We'll get somebody to cover that. But invite them and invite them around. We need to re-engage our muscle memory in inviting people to church. Not engage people in theological debates, but just explain to people why the gospel was important to you. The very first stage in evangelism is simply sharing why Jesus is important to you. We don't use the word witnessing very much. Why? Because the Baptists use it. And we don't do stuff the Baptists do. The Baptists come in the door, we climb in the windows. It's hard for us because we don't have any. But witnessing is always the first stage in sharing the gospel. Telling people why Jesus is important to you, what He has meant in your life. We need to do that. Nobody can argue with you that Jesus is important to you. Sometimes it's just about buying a cup of coffee and sharing with someone, hey, let me tell you about my Lord. This may sound hokey to you, but He means the world to me. And I just want to tell you why. And if that doesn't work, buy them another cup of coffee. And then buy them another cup of coffee. In fact, let's end this part of the sermon with just watching this real short little video.
How many times does someone need to hear the gospel before they believe in Jesus? Once? 10 times? Some say it takes as many as 40 times. Whatever the number, every time they hear the story, it makes an impact. Every cup of coffee matters. Each conversation is significant, whether it's the first, or the 10th, or the 40th. Maybe this won't be the moment they choose to trust Him. That's okay. Just pour another cup. Tell the story again. And be glad for the people who told you the story of Jesus and then told you one more time.
Okay, that's the end of this series, and I know some of you are glad it's over. I know I'm glad it's over. Next week, we're going to start a series that I've been really looking forward to, talking about Jesus. We're calling it Outcast, meeting the people that Jesus met in Luke. We'll be looking at some folks that sound familiar because they sound a lot like us. I know that some of you aren't completely comfortable with some of the things that I've said today, but then again, why should today be any different than any other Sunday? The elders and I and Roger are almost always available to talk with people. And I say almost always because we're not really available right after church is over. That's a time when we need to do ministry with people that may be here for the first time, people we need to talk to. the people we need to do ministry with. So make an appointment. In fact, you may get a free lunch out of it on Bob. Seriously, one of the reasons that we meet together is for to love and encourage one another. And we need that encouragement too. So, dude, make an appointment. We'll meet for a cup of coffee or for lunch, and we'd love to talk to you about some of these things. Church, we need to decide what kind of church we want to be. Are we going to be the church that God made us? Are we going to fly on wings like eagles, or are we just going to continue to waddle? It's a lot easier to waddle. It's a lot easier to do what we've always done. It's a lot safer just to be what we've always been. But that's not what God made us to be. That's not what God empowers us to be. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. He lifts us up on wings like eagles. We can be the church that God intended us to be, a church that flies. You can be the person that God intended you to be. Don't be content to waddle in things that have held you down and things that keep you from being all that God intended you to be. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look to what God wants you to be. Look to the God that empowers. Look up to Him. Fly.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. Defender of the weak, You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.